Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much. Well, joining me, thanks for hanging around with me today. As always, it's my pleasure to be part of your day, especially when I get a chance to reintroduce you to one of our good friends. Bob Nagin is the founder of Whiz Bang Training. He owned a kite company, a 12-month out of the year kite company in Michigan. He owned it for a couple of decades. And he converted all that knowledge about selling kites, even when people weren't flying kites. I usually typically think about flying kites in March and April, and he's selling them all year long. All those things he learned, which were considerable, he's turned into his business, his consulting business. And he and his lovely wife, Susan, have written a book called Marketing Your Retail Store in the Internet Age. And, of course, we've been telling you about Bob and his book for a long time. He's our good friend, and he's right here. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's always my pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. You know, Bob, one of the things that I wondered if you would allow us to continue with a little bit is the topic that we just got through talking about with John Herman, which is the concept of failure.
Uh-huh.
And I'm assuming that in your long career, either you yourself or you've observed other people failing in retail. And I drive around, you know, my hometown. I drive around the countryside across the United States. And, you know, there are places that I go on a regular basis, and I see businesses popping up, and then I come back by a month later or a year later, and I see those businesses are gone. And they come and they go, and I think about all of the pain
mm-hmm.
that and all of the loss that must have been associated with that. And me being who I am and doing what I do, I keep thinking, what could somebody have done to have prevented that failure from happening? And it might have been that somehow you helped them not do it to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. So
some businesses should never be started.
I'll say that again. I'm sorry.
Some businesses should never be started.
Absolutely. Some businesses should never be started. A couple years ago, I did a workshop for a chamber of commerce in a tiny, tiny little town here in Michigan. And there was a woman who put together a high-end bridal shop. You know, it's just not the right
mm-hmm.
fit for the market. And so you're absolutely correct. There are lots of times when people shouldn't start a business.
That reminds me of an email I got a few years ago. A guy was in a teeny tiny town in South Carolina. He admitted
uh-huh.
it was a small town in South Carolina. He wanted to open up a cigar bar.
Right.
I wrote him back. I said, look, cigar bars are failing in New York City today.
Yeah.
don't open up a cigar bar in small town South Carolina.
Absolutely. And I'm very much like you in that, you know, I mean, having been in retail for 30 years or 25 years as both a store owner, now as someone who works with retailers, I can almost immediately spot who's going to make it or who doesn't have a chance. But now here's a huge but for your listeners. There's always an exception, and whenever I think I know more than I know, I go back to the fact that when I was 23 years old, I started a kite store in northern Michigan. And everybody thought, who is this long-haired, bearded guy flying kites? He's got to be selling drugs or something, because nobody, this was in the days of fudge and souvenirs.
Yeah.
And so there's always that exception to the rule, but you're right. You can see who's going to fail just because they're not doing the right things and they don't have the right concept.
Right. Now do you have any more big butts for us, Bob?
No.
That's the only big butt you have for us?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know,
we won't go there, Jim.
Hey, look, you said it. I didn't. Bob, you said that you could tell when somebody was going to fail, when somebody was going to make it. What would you see that made you realize that somebody wasn't going to make it?
Well, a lot of times their merchandise mix was just flat out bad. You know, I mean, I do a lot of work in the gift industry, and the problem with the gift industry is that it's filled with people who want to live amongst pretty things, mm-hmm. but really don't have a direction. They don't
especially things that they like.
Oh, absolutely.
Hold on to that thought, Bob, because I want to come back to this. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk some more about the retail business and what it looks like when you're going to fail, what it looks like when you're going to succeed, and how do you decide. Bob's the guy who can help us with that. Right after these messages, we'll be back. It's 20 till. Stay with us.
Good golly, Miss Marley. Sure likes the ball. Good golly, Miss Marley. Sure likes the ball. When you're rocking out a
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I got to admit it, folks. I was listening to Santana there. That's just one of my favorite songs. I kind of forgot where I was there, Bob Nagin. I was enjoying the music there. Bob Nagin, ladies and gentlemen, is the president of Whiz Bang Training. He and his lovely wife Susan. The reason I say lovely, folks, is not just gratuitous. I mean, she is. I've seen the picture. She's. You did a good job there, Bob.
Well, thank you. I married above myself.
You certainly did. And the two of them are the authors of Marketing Your Retail Store in the Internet Age. You know, Bob, I've been telling young people, young guys who are just getting married, the five things that you got to learn how to say if you're going to be successful in marriage.
And what are those?
First one is yes, ma'am.
Yep.
The second one is I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
The third one is it's my fault.
Uh-huh.
The fourth one is no, honey, that doesn't make you look fat. And the fifth one is, yes, honey, I think you should go ahead and get that.
Yeah.
If you learn to say those five things every day, you'll have a happy marriage.
You are a wise man, Jim Blassigan. You are a wise man.
Hey, Bob, this isn't my first rodeo.
Yeah.
Let's get back to this retail thing and what it looks like when I ask you, what does it look like? You said you could kind of tell when somebody is going to fail in retail. You said because of their product mix. You know, I remember a great story. One of my mentors, when I was just starting to college, I worked in a furniture store for a guy, and I still tell him, you know, I still remember some of the things he taught me, even though he didn't realize he was teaching me at the time. He took me to a furniture mart once. I mean, that was the most wonderful trip for a young, you know, big-eyed kid to get to go to. He would get to go to the big city and go to a furniture mart. He actually let me buy some stuff. And so I remember he bought some sofas. And I said, sir, do you really like that? It were the ugliest things I'd ever seen. He said, no, I can't stand them. I said, why are you buying them? He said, because I learned a long time ago, if you surround yourself with stuff that only you like, that you like a lot, he said, you're going to get to keep a lot of that stuff.
Yep.
you gotta have lots of different kinds of stuff. And he was the best marketer I've ever seen. And guess what? When we got back, those ugly sofas just flew out of the building.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things that really ties into it is your store is not a museum. And if you buy the wrong stuff, you're going to end up with a store that looks like a museum. And, you know, your points are very, very valid. You know, your customers vote with their wallets. And, you know, when I say that, I can sort of tell, you know, another way that I can tell is if I talk to a store owner, you know, you can just tell the people who are really, you know, convinced that they are smart and they know what they're doing and they're going to do it this way.
By golly.
by golly, come hook or crook. And, you know, that if and this is not just for retail, but every small business person who is listening to this has to understand that they are not in the business doing things for themselves. They are in the business doing things for their customers. And so if your customers say green is what's great, well, green is what's great, even though you may love blue. And this is what, you know, as I told you at the break, I'm starting another session of my marketing mentor program. And one of the things that I'm going to spend some time on this session that I haven't in the past is this whole concept of what else can you sell? You know, so when I was in the kite business, if I would have just sold kites, I would have never made it to 20 years and $3 million.
You would have done really good for about 2 months out of the year, wouldn't you?
Right, but what happened was we realized that we didn't sell kites, we sold fun, and once we realized we sold fun, then we started selling toys, mm-hmm. and that, you know, just opened things up. Just recently, I was the keynote speaker for True Value Hardware for their big best retails practices. And there's a guy walking around with a ask me about my success pin. So what did I do? I asked him about his success. Well, he's a hardware store that's now starting to get into some rentals, mm-hmm. you know, equipment rental. The point is what do your customers want and how can you meet their needs? Not what do you want and, you know, not what do you want. And I think that that's so important. And you can almost sense an attitude of I know what's right for my customers and those people are going to fail.
Do you think that retail is one of the sectors that's really having a hard time coming into the 21st century?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that it's a beautiful thing because what's going to happen is, you know, it really is a watershed right now. Is the people who, and it's too bad because there's going to be a lot of casualties. A lot of retailers are going to go out of business. And unfortunately, a lot of them are going to be mom and pops, you know.
Yeah.
And some
yeah.
of them are going to be old school. I mean,
what do you think is going to cause them to go out of business?
Well, they're not changing. They're not
yeah.
changing. That, you know, I mean, 20 years ago, the way to market your business was to buy regularly place an ad in your local newspaper. That is not the way to do it anymore.
Right.
You know, we have websites, not to necessarily sell to the world, but to use them to be a broader resource to your customers. You have email marketing. You have cause marketing. The world has changed, and the question is, are you going to do business like the world did business 20 or 30 years mm-hmm. ago, or are you going to do business like the successful retailers are going to do it in the future?
And the thing that I tell people, Bob, that seems to help, and it makes sense to me, it helps me in my own business, is it's okay to fall in love with what you do. You just can't fall in love with how you do it.
And
I'm gonna get you. I'll get you to comment on that. I'm gonna get you to comment on that when we come back these messages.
Sure.
We're also gonna talk about the effects of volunteerism on your business. Is it a good thing or when can it be a bad thing? Tintel, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Bob Nagin. His book is called Marketing Your Retail Store in the Internet Age. And, Bob, give us your website, please, and tell us where your book's available.
WWW, of course, Whiz Bang Training. And there's an H in the whiz, like
right.
Whiz Bang Training, yes.
Check it out. And can they find the book there?
Absolutely.
And wherever books are sold. It's a bestseller, too, by the way, right?
Yep.
It's a bestseller, which I'm not the least bit surprised about. Bob, I made the comment just before we went to the break that it's okay to fall in love with what you do. You just can't fall in love with how you do it. And another thing I tell people is 96.75% of all the things that you know, you learned in the 20th century, and most of that's obsolete.
Absolutely. You're so correct. You know, business is changing, which is why one of the things that I always talk about with, you know, consulting clients and in my marketing mentor program is you have to become You have to fall in love with being a business person. You have to find, you know, like so many people become florists or manufacturers. You know, they love what they do, and starting a business is their way to do what they love to do. But if you're going to be a successful business person, you also have to love to be in business. You have to find business intellectually exciting. Mm-hmm. You have to love trying things. You have to love being engaged in the process. Because if you don't have that, you're just going to, like you just said, keep doing what you did, and the world's going to pass you by. So not only do you have to have a passion for your product, you have to have a passion for being a successful business person.
But you got to figure out that what you do, people are always going to need shoestrings, Bob.
Yep.
If you sell shoestrings, people are always going to need shoestrings, but they just want to get it a different way than they used to. They don't want to hunt for you to find shoestrings. Maybe they want you to deliver the shoestrings.
Absolutely.
Maybe they want you to float them down the river. Who knows? You know, deliver them standing on your head.
That's right.
It's okay to be in love with the shoestring business. You got to realize that the way people want to receive those shoestrings is different today than it was 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Here's a quote from Charles Darwin. It's not the strongest or the smartest species that survive, but those who adapt to change.
That's it.
There it is. So.
That's it. That's exactly right. Talk to us about volunteerism. You know, sometimes, obviously, small business owners are not only the backbone of the economy, they're the backbone of our communities, as you know very well, Bob. I mean, they're the soccer coaches, the Cubs, the den mothers, the PTO leaders, do they call them PTO? That's what they used to call it when I think they have a new name, but anyway, they're the volunteers, they're the people who work for the Heart Fund and all the other different things. Have you seen, you know, volunteerism obviously is important. Small business owners are important to volunteerism. It's the right thing to do, but it can get out of hand, can it?
Absolutely. You know, I see this all the time. I just had a conversation with two people who have been through my marketing mentor program, and both of them are struggling. And when we went through the process, I was like, well, have you been doing this and this and this and this, things that they knew they needed to do? And the answer was no. But now, back up 20 minutes into the conversation, when we started the whole conversation, there was always this, I'm involved with this committee with the downtown, I'm involved with this, I'm involved with that. And I think what it is that people become so busy doing what they think they should do, they don't spend the time to do what they know they have to do. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that I always start my day with is one or two things that I have to get done. Do the important work first and do everything else after that. So, I mean, I've seen it happen many, many times that people almost go broke. You know, if you get involved with the downtown, the merchants who are struggling the most are the people who are on all the committees.
Well, and the thing is we got to have people doing those jobs, and I certainly don't want to talk against that, because I've been a supporter of our Chamber of Commerce now for a long, long time.
Yep.
I've either have been a volunteer or I've encouraged other people to volunteer, but you got to realize that you can't keep being a volunteer if you don't have a business behind you. You got to do the business
right.
First. Hey, Bob, give us your website one more time.
Whizbangtraining.com.
Thank you very much for being here today, Bob.
As always,
congratulations on your book, Marketing Your Retail Store. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Bob Negen, ladies and gentlemen. That's N-E-G-E-N. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I, as you know, what I always remind you about, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.